Welcome back, creepies, to Encounters with Darkness, the paranormal investigation group who is not afraid of encountering otherworldly beings. But when we're not looking for portals to jump in or chilling entities to uncover, you can find us here on the podcast, chatting about everything terrifyingly interesting. So go grab you some coffee, because you're about to get a wild conversation between a cosmic horror author and me, your friendly neighborhood paranormal weirdo. Arthur Curry has a problem. His real life was stolen from him, taken when he turned 16 years old and remade in the image of a man he never met. In the decades since, Arthur has come to terms with a few things. One, he is the king of a nation that has been lost to time and space. And two, the universe is surrounded by cosmic horrors beyond our concept of space and time, and he is a designated beacon of hope in a multiverse of horror. So if you come across his tale, just remind yourself that he asked for none of this. And he is literally not allowed to quit, which is ironically the definition of a boy king. Now that we know a little bit about this chaotic world William has created, let's hear from the author ourselves.
Well, the chief reason I wrote this book in the first place is because me and a friend of mine were joking about COVID, because COVID was just starting to like show up in California and making its march west eastward, right? It was like, you know what? I should write something about COVID. I knew we wasn't going to take it seriously. And I was like, you know what? If COVID turned people into zombies? I was like drunk in the hotel room. I was like, what would happen if this like this whole thing broke out when I'm stuck in this hotel? And I'm like super drunk and I'm barely able to walk straight, and then suddenly people start turning into zombies.
Like, really raises the question, what would we do in a supernatural event? And I think that you played so many, because there's a lot of characters that we meet in this book. There is a lot. And a lot of them, we don't really get to know them a whole lot before they meet an untimely demise. It's really their own stupidity, which scares me, because I feel like that's how I'll go out. I'll be one of the first characters to go out, because I'll open the wrong door. People will be like, don't go in that room. And I'll be like, you're stupid. I'm going to go in that room. And bam, dead. Snatched up by some tentacle monster.
You know what? I was thinking to myself that, like, I was tired of, say, the zombie story where there's this weird virus that shows up, and then like people get infected, and then like, you know, and suddenly we're all in The Walking Dead. Like, I was like, to be honest, if anything, the way I think about zombies is like this invasion of a different organism.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much allows everything else behind it, right? So like zombies would be at the bottom of the food chain, right? The amoebas, the algae, the plant life. And then everything that eats that plant life, right, comes in right behind it. And that's kind of where I wanted to, push is that, like, this is the, you hope, you pray to God that it's just zombies.
You really, really do. I think you did a great job. But as far as how much supernatural and paranormal that is in this book, because there's a lot, there's magic systems, there is zombies, there are unknowns that is going down. How did any of this come from inspirations of maybe something unknown that you've encountered?
I would like to say no, but there's also a part of my brain that is, there are two types of stories I cannot do. As far as like, I can watch them and they would immediately freak me out. One story or anything to do with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like, alien abductions is one of my oldest fears. Like, I remember being like 10 years old and watching like the X-Files opening and be like, oh nah. Oh nah, this is not for me. And then, like, in the 90s, like, alien abductions were, like, a big thing, right? And we had, like, several TV shows about alien abductions. But, like, when people start talking about, like, their true stories of alien abductions, of course, like, whoever the TV producers have come up with these images of, like, these ghostly images, they're, like, these ghost-like figures hovering beside your bed and they kidnap your ass.
It's terrifying. Like, you're right, we had so many of those shows that would air. It made you scared. Like, it made you scared to go to bed. It made you scared if you were walking home from your friend's house and it's daylight savings and it's dark early and the street lights are coming on. That's when the aliens come and get you.
My brain says that there is a less than 0% chance of aliens. So the fact that I actually believe that there could be intelligent life in the cosmos is automatically like, nope. Like, anytime I write like a scene in which like a character is like having an utter breakdown because he just saw something that's like beyond his comprehension, that's me remembering me being 10 years old and going, that can happen, nope. As rational as I can be, I'm like, nah, aliens could happen. Nope, not for me.
It's definitely wild. And I mean, as we know, I'm a paranormal investigator, and I think one of the most fascinating theories for the paranormal is that there's actually not spirits on this earth at all, that there's not ghosts of loved ones as much as we would love to think that they're checking in on us, but that there is interdimensional beings or extraterrestrials that have this ability. And we as humans, just like our ancestors from before who would see a shooting star and assume that meant the sky was falling, we're seeing something that is just out of our means of understanding. And the only thing that we could rationalize it with is, oh, this is probably a ghost of a dead person, because that makes more sense than it being something that could just poof, warp, and be right beside you in an instant.
Now, that's also my second fear, which is ghosts.
You're welcome.
Don't fuck with ghosts. I don't fuck with anything related to ghosts. There's a non-0% chance in my brain, even though aliens is more likely than ghosts, I don't fuck with ghosts. And it's very interesting that you point out that theory about like what we believe is ghosts, because actually, if you pay attention to like Christian theology, they don't believe that ghosts are ghosts. They believe that ghosts are demonic spirits, right? Now, if you take a sci-fi interpretation of that, what are demons?
Now I love this question, because if we went into more of away from Christianity with what are demons, then they would just be any type of being that had power that was not human power.
Or even more specifically, any kind of being who's not originally from this dimension.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
Means would that be all demons demon. Are essentially are aliens.
I love that theory so much, but then it does scare me, because we're all sitting here, not we're all, but some of us are sitting here trying to communicate with what we think is going to be responding back to us in a very human-like way. But if they are creatures that are from a completely different dimension altogether, they don't follow the same rules that we do here on Earth. They probably, morals, that's probably something that's lost to them entirely. Do we really want to communicate with them? And I'm like, yeah, I do.
So that is something that I find very interesting, because like, if you take something that's, you know, interdimensional, completely alien to human life, right? Or even life, human life, but life on Earth. You take something like that, what is this interaction with life on this planet? Why is it interacting with you, the intelligent monkey, as opposed to the intelligent cat, or the intelligent dolphin, or the intelligent whale? What do you have that it would want, right? Because that's essentially, let's take people out the equation, that's essentially what intelligent animals have been doing for years, right? If you're interacting with something, there's an exchange somewhere, right? There may be one-sided exchange, but there is still that exchange. Forget this communication. Why is it interacting with me? What the fuck does it want? And it can't possibly want what I won't give it willingly, right?
Right?
Nope. That's a big fuck no. I don't fuck with it.
See, and I agree. I think that there's always a manipulation at play. If this theory was to play out, I think that this would be one reason why they would manipulate and take on childlike forms to really lower our guards and to make us to play on our own emotions, to make us feel comfortable enough to get close to us. So like different forms that can pop up definitely has me leaning more towards they're manipulators. They want something, but what exactly is it? Maybe it's just energy.
I don't want to find out.
That implies
a predator-prey relationship, right?
Right.
And also, when I was writing like Hotel of Madness, especially Day of October, I was thinking about like an easy explanation of supernatural in the real world, right? Because I wanted to ground this a little bit into something that people can actually think about, like, what if this was real, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, why are kids so fascinated with monsters? Well, I think it's because, and then also, why do we always portray monsters as eaters of children specifically, right? Why are children usually the target of these interdimensional beings? Well, my theory is that kids don't have a firm grasp of reality. Kids aren't logical. Kids would accept that a cockroach is 6 feet tall and weigh 300 pounds and not think anything of it, right?
That's true.
Adult brain will say, fuck that. This is not happening. It doesn't exist, right? And the fact that kids' brains aren't able to enforce basically the rules of reality, right? Kids don't understand mass to height ratios. Kids don't understand why can't something be this small, or why can't something walk through walls, or why can't kids don't perceive those things as being inherently illogical, which means if you are a creature whose ability to interact with our plane of existence is tenuous at best, right? Because if you were able to interact with this universe freely, everyone would see you. Because you're not able to do that, you have to be picky about what you're going to do. That's why you inherently go after people who are more sensitive or small children.
I mean, it worked for it, definitely. Yes. And all the adults were just like, you know what? Aliens gotta eat.
I mean, it's funny because like, I think Stephen King went through that thought process too when he was developing it, because a lot of things that he was thinking of when he was describing the reason why it exists and also the reason why it preys on its target food selection, right? And also like how the kids are able to fight back was unique to the mind of a child. Right.
Oh yeah.
And the reason why they were able to fuck with them when they're adults because they already interacted with it when they were children, so they already believe in it. And the reason why it's harder for them to deal with it as an adult because their brains have a more solid grasp of what should and should not be happening.
Mm-hmm. It's very creepy. I mean, to think about, especially if you're like me and you're still a grown kid. I think I would be susceptible. I'd have that childlike wonder.
Ah, you'd be a seeker.
I would be, and I would not make it out. I'm telling you right now.
I mean, there's a positive side of that. There's one lady who did really well with her curiosity.
That's true. Curiosity doesn't always kill the cool cats.
Granted, she's also an abomination now. But, you know, she's living her best life. Play clean slate.
Oh, man. So you would never write an interdimensional being type story? I find that so hard to believe because I was going to say, Hotel of Madness is very, it's like your nightmare.
Yes, it's a good description of SA. I guess it's a little far removed from my specific fears when I was a kid, but still, you know, inspired by the stuff that actually made my overactive imagination go like, oh my god. Because like, me personally, like the slashers never really scared me, right? Like right. Most of that is mostly like, you know, the tension and the jump. It's not really like Jason Voorhees is not scary to me. The guy from Halloween, also not scary to me. Freddie, I can also, I don't like Freddie. Freddie, me and Freddie would not get along because he would actually scare me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how I would handle actually dealing with like a Freddy Krueger type character, because I too am very sarcastic, and when I get scared, I don't know what happens to me. I become very comical but also angry at the same time, so I think we would just get in a fist fight. Like
that's the only way to beat Freddy is to fight him,
right? I'd turn into what's her face, like, ooh, what are you gonna do with those butter knives, you know? Like, come on, bro.
No, you know, more from Alien? Oh no, that's terrifying.
Yes. Yes. If we had like an alien or predator type situation on Earth, like, I'm sorry, fellow humans, I am immediately team them. There is no fighting them, okay? I am not what's her face, okay? I'm not gonna be able to fight them all.
You're not gonna go fucking Ellen Ripley and start blowing up aliens with your power loader?
Nope, I'm gonna flip teams real quick. I'm gonna be like, yeah, let's get those humans. I'll be their cheerleader, I guess.
my favorite extraterrestrial alien story, The Thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, The Thing. Well, I'll say this. If you ever want to have a definitive list of the things I find the best horror movies, it will be John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy. It will be The Blob. It will be The Mist. Those are the three. Those are the movies I watch like every year. I love it. I do love, you know, human versus alien stories.
Yeah, I do too. It just, if anything, I feel like it's just kind of prepping us for at least what our final moments will look like. You know, I'm not gonna be able to fight these things up.
Hope not. I really hope not. Actually, I mean, it'll be the best and worst thing to ever happen to us if an aggressive alien species were to show up. So on one hand, like, half of us will unite against them, and the other half would be like, you know what? I'm fighting with ya.
Yep. I choose life, and maybe I would just hide. That would probably be my game plan. Hope that they don't have like predator eyesight or something, and just hide it out, covered in mud, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just that's all I could do.
I'm just hoping we don't get anything like The Thing. If we get anything like The Thing, it's over. We wouldn't last like 2 seconds. We will hope if we don't contain it in the first 24 hours, we are doomed.
See, I'm hoping it's more of like a Venom situation, because like, how cute would that be? We just have like a little best friend.
Oh my god.
Our little symbiotes.
You know what? The thing about that movie is that they tried to give like the Venom, you know, like a little bit of an edge to it, because there wasn't no Spider-Man to the fight. So it was like, yeah, the Venom studio is eventually going to eat you alive and occasionally eat brains, and then they abandoned it completely by the end of the movie. Because it's like, yeah, but is it really that bad though?
Yeah, I thought they did a phenomenal job with the movie. I think it was, I mean, there's been spinoffs and there's been different versions of Venom where he is more of a humanitarian, if we want to go that way.
Oh yeah, and but that took like years of like development though. Like
It did. It was not instant.
No, it wasn't in the same movie.
Right. But I like the new spin on him. I like that he's a little bit nicer. And I love the second one when Carnage kind of shows up and we do the little bit of a fear that you find out, which they didn't play into it as much as I wish that they would, but you really find out that Venom is low man, you know? He's the weak one out of all his other symbiote siblings.
A huge thank you to William for coming on the podcast tonight. I hope you all enjoyed our conversation as much as we did. We could probably talk about this for hours, and we did. However, we did run into a lot of technical difficulties with this episode, so my deepest apologies, but we did manage to salvage just enough of the juicy bits. Check out all of his links down below. You do not want to miss out on the Boy King series. I'm telling you, it is good. And until next week, stay creepy.